Thank you, Brother Jimmy. It is a blessing to be here, and I would also covet your prayers for my wife's father, Brother Terry Smith. He's actually our pastor, and he pastors Victory Baptist Church down the road in Rowlett, Texas, and he's having a bit of a health crisis. And so after lunch today, my mom, who's a retired nurse practitioner, is going to go pay him another visit to try to get his health regulated. So I would covet your prayers. So my wife is with him this morning. And so God has so graciously allowed us to serve him in an international platform. It just happens to be based out of a city called Santiago, Dominican Republic. And so we are here in the States renewing passports, officiating weddings, fundraising, and coming to Authentic Life Fellowship. Amen? Amen. Hey, there's still life here. Hallelujah. COVID-19 hadn't got all of us, has it? Huh? I'm here. And I left my mask in the car, hallelujah. And so anyway, I need to give you a report of what's going on. And these photos right here that I'm going to share with you are fresh off of my phone. So in no particular order, let me just run through what's happening in our ministry. This is Mother's Day just a couple weeks ago. I was preaching there in our home church. My wife Tammy in the middle, my daughter Megan in the green sweater, and then my other daughter Morgan. So we're all getting older, at least I am, okay? And so there's a picture of my family. So let me just jump right into ministry. One of the cool things that we do in our ministry are Christmas shoeboxes. How many people have heard of Christmas shoebox? I've raised Christmas shoebox. Raise your hand. Okay. Well, that's not a box in her hand, is it? What is that? It's a Ziploc bag. 2 gallons, if you please. You know why? Because those plastic boxes break in transport. So one church got smart enough to say, Brother Earl, I'll send you bags instead of boxes. Now, this village is in the mountains. Now, the Dominican Republic has beaches, but if you drive 6 hours inland and you go to about an 8,000-foot elevation, you come to this village. I was the very first foreigner to ever step foot in this village 3 years ago. The kids looked at me like I was weird. Go figure. I know I'm weird. That's okay. Normal is overrated, isn't it? Yeah, thank you, Ronnie. Got my amen corner over there. So this is how Pastor Kelvis, my pastor in Santiago, this is his mother-in-law and father-in-law. They're farmers, lived there the whole life. And so we have a ministry up there. And so we got Christmas shoeboxes. So guess what? We took them up to the mountains. And listen, folks, when I tell you these kids get not much under the tree, there's no tree. Well, there wasn't much under the tree this year. There's no tree. Do you get it? So it's like you look at this little boy right here. He's like, what's going on? Why are you here? Why are you giving me a bag of goodies? And why are you taking my picture? Because Brother Earl needs them to show people. Yeah, the kids are... they're confused. Why are we loving on them? Well, we want to show them the love of Jesus. We're going to love them to Jesus, huh? Is that what we're doing? Isn't she precious? These people live without running water. Well, that's not true. I saw two boys run down to the creek. So I guess they have running water. They use outhouses. They have solar panels to charge their cell phones. Brother Jeff, they're in the middle of nowhere and they have cell phones. You know. They don't live on electricity. And man, we've just got a great opportunity up there. And they walk for a long ways to get there. They're all farmers. They don't use tractors. They use oxen. It's like Bible days. And so it's just a whole nother lifestyle up there. And so we're just very blessed to be able to love on these kids. back in Santiago, this is what our Christmas shoe bags look like instead of boxes. And so we start the distribution. Now, this is in Santiago. This is 6 hours south of where the mountain village is in our main church. This is Alaska. Isn't she precious? She's a little Haitian girl. Okay, she's one of my favorite. What are you going to do with that, huh? She crawls up in my lap, gives me a hug, and tells me she loves me. Is there anything wrong with that? I don't have grandkids, Jeff Phillips. I got a whole bunch of grandkids right here. There's little Deanna right there with my daughter Megan. And so, man, there's Fernando, sweet little boy. And these are kids that have been in our ministry since we started our child development center. There's Tammy with three sisters. Their dad did the work. He just got out of prison. I'm like, get to church. Your dad's in jail. Get to church. I don't know if you do that type of ministry, but that's where I come from, right? I can't get the mom to come to church faithfully, but bless God, we're going to love Casey and Nero and Mary Lady to the Lord. Amen? He's a cute little boy. There's John Carlos, and there's Deanna with the diva glasses. We call her a mega diva. This is in a Haitian church, Pastor Smith. This is where we partner with Pastor Smith Dumont. He is the pastor of the Haitian church, just 15 minutes down the road, 12 if you get the green light. And this is where our Haitian seminary is. That's Pastor Smith, his wife Didi, and his two daughters. And that's typical right there, 4 to 5, fit on the motorcycle, and you go home. You know, what's wrong with that? Oh, this little boy was so happy. And the sucker is bigger than the whole boy. Look at that. Huh? That'd bless your heart right there. That's one of them big old suckers. Oh, that precious little girl got her a baby doll. And so we use Christmas shoe bags as an opportunity to bless kids that get so little. Hey, good news. We reopened our child development center. Now, schools haven't opened. But we noticed every night that kids are down there on the playground, playing on the playground without masks. So Pastor Kelvis comes to me and says, Brother Earl, we're gonna open the child development center. I said, let's do it. And so we reopened. And the health department has not come in and shut us down yet. So we've been operating now for 3 weeks. So here we go. We're going to feed kids. We're going to feed them physically, and we're going to feed them spiritually. Amen? And so these are some of the kids we have. By the way, the feeding time, that takes like 10 minutes. You got to have class. You can't just have food because they wolf it down, and they're like, what's next? We're like, get in line. If you worked with kids, you know what I'm talking about. So we have music class, crafting. We have Bible class. We have PE. So how do we do that? Well, school's half a day. If they even do their virtual assignments. Most parents aren't following up. It's a third world country. So they have assignments that the parents are supposed to go down, pick up, bring home, and do their homework. So we just operate in the odd hours of their schooling, okay? So if they go to school in the morning, they come to the Child Development Center in the afternoon and vice versa. And so, man, our ministry's expanding. What you see right there are two Dominican kids on the right and a Haitian kid on the left. There's one of our cafeterias. We have several new girls coming. There's Edison studying the Bible. That's a pretty good name, isn't it? There's a little girl, Cascara. They're a little shy to get their pictures taken, studying the Word of God in a classroom setting. I mean, what better place to teach kids is in the church, you know? And do it during the week. That's a cute little boy right there. So, Child Development Center is open. Guess what else is open? Seminary. We just relaunched the seminary back in two semesters ago. They just finished finals 2 weeks ago. So we have three seminary locations. We have one in Spanish in Santiago, two in Haitian Creole. This is the Spanish seminary, and that's Pastor Kelvis teaching his class. That's last week, a group of the students had just finished taking final exams. Out of those students there, only two of those people come to our church. The rest are leaders in other churches. Brother Earl, you're training leaders in other churches? Well, what about your church? What about your attendance and your offering? I'm trying to change the world. I don't need to hoard church members. Amen? Now, our Haitian Creole ministry is growing faster than our Dominican ministry. Who would have known? Listen, I just got a report from Luke Perkins, a missionary in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Just got this email 2 weeks ago. He works at a seminary in Port-au-Prince. He's a missionary, but he's from Dallas, and he works there. He's a teacher. He gave me the report that gangs have taken over their campus. Saturday, they prayer walked the campus, Jeff, as armed gang members are inside their building. And they're circling the campus praying for the gangs to leave the inside so they can start class. And they have a three-story huge building complex. On the Dominican side, we have chaos and we do have our crime, but we don't have gangs taking over our churches and seminaries. And so we had, they just took their finals last week, 61 students in this campus, free to come to class without gang members. Now, next time you go to church, think about if gangs were occupying this building with guns, what would you do to worship? Would you give up on God? We're very blessed. This is our campus in the north part of Monte Cristi, which is the north part of the island. This is Casimir. He's my leader of my Haitian church, of the main Haitian church. That's Pastor Smith teaching. This is Rodney Fitzsimmons, a missionary to Haiti for 33 years. I just had him come over in March. He lectured and preached and evangelized 16 times in 2 weeks. He liked it so much, he is back in the Dominican this morning, preaching and teaching this morning. He'll be teaching all day. God's bigger than just one person. I don't have to get all the credit. It's okay. Now, pause. Our Haitian Creole ministry is growing. I need a senior pastor to really take over my main Haitian Creole church, which meets in the same building as our Dominican Spanish-speaking church. I contacted Pastor Smith and I said, hey, I need a pastor. I started talking to him in November. And in November, he put me in touch with this man who goes by the name of M-E-N-O-R, Menor. Say that with me, Menor. Say it again, Menor. What was his name? Menor. And his wife's name is Julie. I go, your name's Julie? I can remember that. We have Julies where I'm from. Spelled with a Y instead of a J, but Julie. I've been talking to them since November. Menor is a student in our Haitian Creole Seminary. He's going to quit his job as a supervisor at a food distribution warehouse. He's going to take a pay cut and join our ministry. Doesn't that sound exciting? And then I told him, I said, hey, come on to work for us. I don't have your salary raised yet, but come on. How many of y'all would like to sign up for a job where the boss says, hey, we'd like you to come work. I don't have the money to pay you yet, but I need you to step out on faith and join our team. One of the things I'm doing here in America is I'm raising his salary. We need $300 a month for his salary. Now, how many of y'all would like to sign up for that?
I can't live on $300 a month.
Well, you don't live over there. His rent is going to be $150, so he has to pay the rest of his bills with $150. Now, Julie will work in the child development center, but she will make $50 a month, and they're going to live on that and serve and minister. We already have $100 raised for his salary. So, would you pray about joining us to bring Menor on staff starting June 1st, and today is what? What's the date? So I only have 7 days. Okay, so he starts June 1st. So y'all join me in praying about that. Amen? Amen? I'm stepping out on faith. Join me. It's fun. You're crazy. Yeah, that's right. Crazy for Jesus. I'm tired of boring Christianity in America. That's why I became a missionary, to live on the edge. Amen? Let's do something for God. We could all die tomorrow. What's the legacy that we leave? We started our youth group back up. Hallelujah, we're going to reach young people. Those old hard-hearted, stubborn Dominican men that don't want to get saved and follow God, guess what? I'll get you teenagers. Amen. And so we relaunched our student ministry. And we did all of this without permission from the health center, from the health department. They haven't shut us down yet. They meet every Friday night. Praise the Lord. So we're raising them up. By the way, out of those youth, most of them came from our child development center that we started a little over five years ago. Best way to raise up a youth group is to raise up your kids. And all those kids in Sunday school or junior church right now need to join the youth group one day and then come and be adults at ALF. Amen? And so this is the family. So Brother Casimir is my leader. He's on the right. Menor in the middle. His three children and Julie are going to move to our neighborhood, and we found a house for them. Now, I've been looking for a house since January because I knew in my heart that God was going to give us Menor to join our team. And Kelvis just sent me these photos a week ago. And so we are trying to rent this house and would like to buy it. Well, how much does a house cost in the Dominican Republic? Well, to closing cost and all of that, that's $35,000. Now, I would love to live in a house $35,000. I'd pay that joker off, wouldn't I? And so you pray with us about getting a house. We already bought a house for Pastor Kelvis. Okay? We have a church building. We have a house with our Dominican pastor. Now we're looking for a house for our Haitian pastor. Already have a church van. Man, God is good. Amen? So I want you to take your Bibles and open to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And I want you to direct your attention to verses 10 through 16. If you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on the screen. Beginning in Hebrews 13, my text jumps right in the middle of the chapter, verse 10, down to verse 16. The Bible says from the New King James, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget, don't forget, to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. 4 points that I want to share with you this morning, how you and I as Christians need to go outside the camp. Say that with me, outside the camp. Say it again, outside the camp. Say it again, outside the camp.
Well, Brother Earl, that doesn't sound very fun.
Well, now hold on. Let's see who's outside the camp. Let's find out why he went outside the camp. And let's give you an opportunity to decide if you would like to go outside the camp. Okay? The Bible tells us that Jesus was also described and was taken outside the city of walls of Jerusalem for his execution. The Bible says in John 19, 17, and 18, and he bearing his cross went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. They crucified him where? Well, outside the camp. Well, who was Jesus? He was our sacrificial lamb. If we look at the Old Testament in the book of Exodus 29, 14, in the Old Testament it says, but the flesh of the bull with its skin and its offal, you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Jesus was the sin offering for all of humanity. Jesus went outside the camp to die for you and for me. Do we comprehend what Jesus did for us this morning? So I want you to see 4 things. Number one, Jesus suffered outside the camp to do 3 things. They all begin with the letter S, to sanctify us to a holy God, to shed his blood on an old Roman cross, and to suffer for you and me outside the camp, to sanctify us. The Bible verse says it right there in verse 12. He might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the camp. Why did Jesus suffer outside the camp? Because I deserve to suffer. I deserve to die. I am a dirty, rotten sinner. My sins deserve to put me on the cross, and he took my place. Do you comprehend the gravity of what Jesus Christ has done for humanity? He went to sanctify us before his holy Father, who is a holy God. And then he shed his blood. Do you understand that someone has to die so that you may live? You've heard the phrase, all men die, but not all men live. Jesus Christ came to die that you and I might live forever. Well, Brother Earl, I don't want to go to heaven yet. That's okay. You'll get the dying grace that you need when it's your turn. But until that time comes, he died for you. Embrace it and follow him outside the camp. And then point C, he suffered for you and me outside the camp, and Jesus Christ did it. Now, how are we saved? We are saved by grace through faith. I saw Brother Rodney teach this illustration to the Dominicans and to the Haitians. He used illustration of an ink pen. Jean René was sitting on the front row, and he took the ink pen and he handed it to Jean René. And he said, now, John René, I want to give you this pen as a gift. And John René was a little taken back. He didn't know what to think. This foreigner was including him in his sermon illustration, and he was afraid to take the pen. And Brother Rodney goes, no, take it. And so he took it. Then he looked at John René, and he said, now, listen, if you'll go outside and wash my car, you get to keep that pen. John René was confused. And then Brother Rodney asked the congregation, is that a gift? And it was like the light bulb went on. They were like, no, he had to earn the pen by working, by washing. Exactly. Salvation is by grace through faith. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, and becoming saved us by grace of God and the mercy of God. And I don't deserve it. And the Dominicans and the Haitians, they all seem to want to get saved and then keep good works, and then they'll make it into heaven. I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey, but I'm here to tell you, the Bible tells us that our righteousness is not very good. It's not good enough to get you to the throne room of God. Have you been saved? Have you trusted this Savior that has stepped outside the camp for you and for me? Then I want you to see that the Scripture encourages us to follow Jesus outside the camp. If you have received this salvation, if you have trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, number 2 says, follow him outside the camp. Verse 13 says, let us go forth to him. What are you waiting on? Jump in. The water's great. See, I learned a long time ago, if the rest of the world is going here, I probably don't need to go there. Hey, students that are in school, if the rest of the students are going here, you probably don't need to go there. If the rest of your coworkers are going here, you may not need to go there. Because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm willing to follow him where? Outside the camp. Say that with me. Outside the camp. My desires versus God's plan. I thought I was going to the Dominican Republic to only learn Spanish. A mí me gusta para hablar en español. A mí me gusta. Yo aprendí español muy rápido. Yo tengo que predicar y enseñar todas las semanas en español. ¿Cuántas personas pueden entenderme? Por favor, levanta tu mano. Levanta tu mano si tú puedes entenderme. Raise your hand if you understood me. Okay, that's fine. I was speaking in tongues in the house of God. Is that okay? I thought I was going to go to the Dominican Republic, learn Spanish, and just, you know, kind of hang out. Well, I got my ministry. And God changed it all when I preached in that Haitian church through a translator. Pastor Dial, the Haitian pastor, understands Spanish. He heard me in Spanish and then translated it in Haitian Creole. And when I got in the church van after the service, the Holy Spirit said, you need a Haitian ministry. But the Haitian ministry is outside the camp. And the Holy Spirit said, yeah, I know. I need you to go out there. And I'm the only one that I know of that has had a joint worship service with Haitians and Dominicans in the same congregation for a Haitian concert. You think there's racial tension in America? I'll show you racial tension. The first time I started to evangelize, three Haitian men right outside our church, Pastor Kelvis, who was not the pastor at that time, he was in training, he was mad at me. Who are you talking to them for? You need to be careful, he told me. You can't trust them. And it's changed it all. I followed Jesus outside the camp. We started a Haitian church, and I looked behind me, and Kelvis was right with me. Well, if the crazy gringo says it's okay, it must be okay. And now Kelvis will be the frontline trainer for Menor. Not me. I could do it. But I'm going to make a Dominican train a Haitian to minister in the community where they don't get along. You see that? Where do you see that? We got to go outside the camp. People outside the camp don't look like me. They don't sound like me. Okay? And so let us follow him outside the camp. Number three, let us praise and worship Jesus outside the camp. Ooh, we had some praise and worship today. We cracked out a hymn. Them young people don't know. We actually sang a hymn today in the contemporary service, didn't we, huh? Yeah. That was good. That ministered to my heart. You know, we sing in Creole and Spanish all the time. Come back to America and sing in my own language. Woo! Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. What is a sacrifice of praise? I mean, I know what praise is. Raise and praise. Woo! The Haitians are good at that. They can get some hate. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do overtime for Jesus in the house of God, okay? They don't get in a hurry. And they sway back and forth and sing. It would make all of y'all uncomfortable, okay? I'm telling you that right now. It's not like my church. No, no. Praise is exhilaration. But now sacrifice involves loss. It involves pain, difficulty. How can the two be mixed? It doesn't make sense. What is a sacrifice of praise? You know, a sacrifice of praise is praising God in the midst of sacrifice. Praising God in the midst of loss. Praising God in the midst of pain. It's praising God in the midst of confusion. It's praising God when I don't understand why, God. That's what a sacrifice of praise is. Let me ask you a question. Do you trust God? Can you trust him? Come on now. Can you trust him? A sacrifice of praise is praising in the midst of pain and confusion that he's a good God and he knows more and better than me. And finally, number four, let us sacrifice and share for Jesus outside the camp because God is well pleased, verse 16 says. To do good, it takes sacrifice to do good works. It takes sharing to do good works. If God is pleased with your works and your labor of love and giving to his church and the mission to spread the gospel around the globe, is God pleased with your effort to spread the gospel? Is God pleased with your effort to go outside the camp? You know, we're coming back from this pandemic, and we've been inside the camp for a long time. And I'm telling you, it's time to get outside the camp. I'm telling you, it's time to think different, act different, and spread the gospel. People are dying every day. People are dying a godless life. They're leaving this life without God. Will you sacrifice and share with Jesus, with your time, with your talent, and with your treasure? Will you go outside the camp? You know, Old Testament Abraham, he went outside the camp to sacrifice his son as an act of obedience. Noah went outside the camp to build an ark. Joshua went outside the camp to conquer the promised land. Esther, Queen Esther, went outside the camp to confront the king and save Israel from annihilation. The Apostle Paul went outside the camp to start an international spiritual revolution called the Way. Jesus went outside the camp to suffer and die for your sins and mine. Let us go outside the camp and bear the shame of our Savior. The year was 1732. There were two Moravian missionaries from the community of Herrnhut, Germany. David Nietzschmann and Johann Leonard Dober became the first two Moravian missionaries in 1732 to leave Herrnhut. They heard of the plight of the African slaves on the island of St. Thomas in the Caribbean, just south of where I am, and how their spiritual hunger was evident, but they had no one to share the gospel with them. These two young men determined to go by any means necessary, even when they were told they would have to sell themselves into slavery because it was a slave island and the owner of the slaves did not permit any missionaries to enter the island. And it was said that the owner said that if any missionaries come here to share the gospel, he would give them no shelter, no food, and send them on their way. According to the story that has stirred missionary zeal around the world and over the past 300 years, as their friends and family came to the shoreline to see them off, they understood this was no mission trip. They were going for a lifetime. And as they stood departing the wharf, looking for what they had believed to be the last time of the faces of their loved ones, they raised their fists and cried, "May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering," as that ship set sail. They were deeply in love with the slain Lamb, cherished the love he showed on the cross, thunderously affirmed his infinite worth, and passionately desired that he would have what he deserved, the reward of his suffering. That cry, that burning desire for Jesus to have the full inheritance of everything he died for, has it captured you? He deserves the reward of his suffering. Will you too go outside the camp? Listen to God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is in your life, maybe somebody needs to go outside the camp and get saved this morning. Maybe somebody that's already saved needs to go outside the camp and follow Jesus Christ and bear his reproach and his shame. Maybe somebody's being called to do something that you never imagined possible. You too can go outside the camp. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for your word, that it is true. And I pray, Lord, that as your word does not return void, that it would penetrate the hearts of the listeners today. If anyone is here today that is not saved, I pray that they would accept you as their Lord and Savior. For those that are saved, I pray that you would stir in our souls to follow Jesus outside the camp. Thank you for Pastor Jimmy and Sharon, and I pray that you would continue to bless ALF, this ministry impact, and that God, the lighthouse that shines from this location, would continue for many years to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.